Well, I'm so glad that God has opened up the door to be here today, and I'm excited about what God's going to do. And tonight, if there's anybody that wants to play me by any chance, then I would be available tonight to play against this church. You're all looking scared. What's the problem? Do we have any men in this church at anywhere?
I've got a four volleyball championship in California.
Uh-oh. Yeah, and you're one of them, right? How many think this guy can play right here?
They don't know.
Well, I'm excited about... And I would love to go on the Army base. I was chatting with brother here about maybe setting up a time to go on the base and do it. I was at Camp Laverne, and they played the Marines against me. Had five different teams from the Marines take me on. So I just really enjoy reaching people in all kinds of settings with this. And certainly it would be a great thing to come in sometime on a Saturday maybe and have an event there. And I've met all kinds of funny people. I mean, it's just amazing the kind of people you meet around the nation doing this. One teacher said to the class, did you do your homework? And one boy said, no, I made a paper airplane out of it and somebody hijacked it to Cuba. One teacher said, this test is multiple choice. Good, I choose not to take it. One teacher said to the class, if there's any dumbbells here, please stand up. And the boy stood up. She said, are you a dumbbell? He said, no, but I hate to see you standing there by yourself. So you meet all kinds of people as I travel. All kinds of things can happen. But I have so much fun with this. When I play the girls' team, the girls' volleyball team, then I play the best boy athletes of the school, and then I play the teachers. And when I play, and then I do a crowd game where they, you know, you see them on each other's shoulders like that. And then I'll say, and one time I asked the junior, senior boys to come out. Well, the whole school got on the other side of the net. There was nobody left in the bleachers. 1,000 people played against me. And I had to nail that audience because there was no place for the ball to drop. And when I nailed it, it was going, it looked like a pinball game going through the crowd. And so that was kind of an unusual circumstance. Another place where I was at, a guy decided to play a trick, and he was 400 pounds. And he came running out there like he was me. He said, go hide over here. I'm going to come out like I'm you. And he came running out there, a crowd of 3,000 people. He's running out there, a big guy. And he said, and he got on the mic. He said, you heard I cover the whole court. It's true. And so funny things go on, and you just never know what you're going to experience. And I was in one place where I do this at every school. When the teachers get out there, I'll say, if I beat them, there's no homework tonight. And I mean, for some reason, the kids start cheering for me. And then I lead into the message. But I want you to go to Psalm 43, and I want to show you something today that I think is so fascinating. In Psalm 43, I want to bring a message to you. On joy is a soul-winning tool. If anybody should be happy, it's somebody who's been saved from the prison of Satan and hell. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. And look at Psalm 43, and I'm going to show you what I mean by happy, okay? Psalm 43, look at verse 3. And I want to thank your pastor, by the way, for bringing me here, not even knowing me. And I appreciate the fact that he protects the flock. A lot of men have a heart for you, and that tells you right there he wants you to make sure you're grounded and that nobody comes in and destroys 31 years of what the Lord has used him to do. Send out thy light and thy truth. How many are glad God is still light in a dark world? Send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. See, joy doesn't come from a joke, it comes from God himself who is joy. Amen. Did you ever stop to think God is joy? This tells us right here. God is my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Lord, I want to thank you for this truth. Lord, we know that joy, real joy, doesn't come from circumstances. It comes from you. And Lord, help us to recognize today that you are a joyful God. Often we hear about your holiness and we need to hear it. We hear about your anger at sin. We need to hear it. We hear about your judgment. We need to hear it. And God, we hardly ever hear that you are joy. So I pray that you'd help us to understand what it means today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, listen to this. If you were depending upon your circumstances to have joy, it would be like this. How many know the Christian life is like a math class, one problem after the next? Okay? So, if it is, our joy has to come from somewhere else than our circumstances. You know, I heard the most amazing thing. I heard that there's two professions that have the strongest suicide rate. And I was amazed when I heard this. I think I can understand it after this trip. The air traffic controllers have the highest suicide rate. And guess what else is right up there with them? Clowns. They paint smiles on their face, but their hearts are broken. And let me tell you this. A clown can make somebody laugh. But when you have a Savior who brings joy because he is joy and he's living in you, then you don't have to have some circumstance putting the smile on your face. It comes from the inside out because God is joy. Now, when we get this and we want the world to know who God is, then we want to reveal that to the world by our real true joy. Now, let me explain. Things will go wrong. The Bible says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Now, people get all excited today and act happy over everything but truth. One lady was cooking a tortilla in the oven, and on it were burn marks that she said looked like Jesus' face. 8,000 people came to her house to see the tortilla from heaven. Her husband said, my wife has been more submissive to me since she met the tortilla from heaven. How many of you are glad you met the God of the Bible, not the God of a tortilla? And everybody's, woo! You know, my car got healed by the Holy Ghost. Now, if it's a Ford, it needs all the healing services it can possibly get. But the truth is, joy can be there no matter what your circumstance. I mean, listen to this. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You know what? A merry heart comes from the one who brings it. Now, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Did you know that laughter is taught in the Bible? Laughter? Now, listen to this. Anything taught in that Bible is a doctrine. That means teaching. So go home today, say that laughter is a doctrine. Never heard that. Laughter is a doctrine. Now understand this. Laughter does not come from whether things are positive or negative. We get a hold of this today. Laughter comes because we say, God, I'm going to trust you to help me to laugh when I'm going through something horrible so a sinner can understand who you really are and how I'm looking to you that's above my wheelchair. I'm going to look to you. Listen to this. A time to weep and a time to laugh. How many of you have ever had to laugh at yourself because you know everything you did that week went wrong, especially getting up in the morning? Raise your hands. I had a week like that. Everything I did went wrong. I finished my first sermon in a church, and the platform was almost as high as this, three chairs, and a curtain. And I thought there was space between the curtain and the wall. I mean, I didn't know there was space between the curtain and the wall. I thought it was right against the wall. I sat down, and the two back legs of the chair went off the platform, threw me in a backward somersault, and I'm lying there with my legs right up here like this. And the crazy thing was, I was stuck, and I couldn't get up. The preacher's up here making announcements, and he didn't know what had happened. As everybody's laughing their heads off. He turned around and had to pull me up. I was weeping and laughing at the same time. I was out in a restaurant, and my wife and I were having a good time eating, and when she went to use the restroom, I thought I'd do what every man does to his husband. You go and hold the door while she's inside trying to get out, and when she's pulling real hard, you let go, and she flies on the wall. And everybody does this. Every good man does this to his wife. So I'm holding that door, and inside she's pulling. Finally, when she's pulling hard, I let go. And boy, she flew in that wall. But it wasn't my wife. There was another lady trying to get out of the restroom. She ran this way, I ran this way. I was weeping and laughing at the same time. I was out with a pastor, and this pastor was prim and proper. Everything was absolutely formal. The very opposite of your pastor. And, no, I'm not kidding. But I was sitting across from him, and we were eating, and all of a sudden, how many of you have ever had a sneeze come to you when you don't expect it? Raise your hand. I had just taken a bite of some string beans. It came. All over that pasture was string beans. Now, they say the thigh bone connected to whatever. Somehow the nose is connected to the throat. And I had string beans coming out of every opening. I was weeping and laughing. Now, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. No, that's the charismatics. Shout for joy. That's to the independent Baptists. You mean to tell me we're supposed to be happier than they are over their experiences? Yeah, because this Bible is more exciting than their experiences. You mean to tell me I'm supposed to shout for joy? Yes, it's a soul-winning tool. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Happy? We're not supposed to be happy as independent Baptists. We're supposed to be angry and separated and hate them. Happy! Say the word happy.
Happy.
And by the way, if you don't hate sin, you're going to be miserable. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. But if you don't do that, if you do that and hate sin, and God is bringing you to joy because you no longer have to be a slave to what this world is offering, you're going to have a soul-winning tool. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Listen to this. If you know these things, hold up that Bible, please. If you know these things, how many are glad this church preaches that book? If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. What's that mean? If you don't do what he preaches, you're going to be miserable. But if you do it, it's meant to bring you happiness. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Lord, why in the world are you going to use Job as an illustration of happiness? He was scraping his body with metal objects. He had elephantitis. He had sores all over his body, lost all his wealth and his family. Why would God use Job as an illustration of happiness? Listen to this, because our happiness is not dependent upon whether we're scraping ourselves with metal objects. Our happiness is because God himself is our joy. Are you with me? If so, raise your hands. God is the source of joy. Now, if he's the source of joy, it doesn't matter what you're going through. The worse things you go through, the more you can use the soul-winning tool. One guy, doctors and nurses were coming through the back door getting saved. And the pastor said, how come so many doctors and nurses from this hospital are coming to my church and being saved? One doctor said to the pastor, it's because we have a man in our emergency room that goes to your church. He looks like a V8 engine. He's got tubes going everywhere. And the guy has such a happy spirit, we don't understand how he could possibly be so happy all the time. He witnesses to us. Well, pastor said, how does he witness to you? He can't talk. He's got tubes going. He writes the gospel down on a piece of paper. And we're so amazed by his consistent joy that we wanted to come find out what's bringing it. It's a soul-winning tool. Turn to Proverbs 17. Look at verse 22. How many believe God's word is true when it talks about even medical things? Raise your hands. Look at Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now I got a question. How many of you believe when God says a bad spirit's going to dry up your bones, how many believe it's true that that happens? Now, inside your bones is marrow, which produces killer cells, which fights disease. So if you dry up the bones, you dry up the killer cells that fights disease. You say, what in the world's going to help me stay healthy? Listen to what it says. A merry heart. Merry heart? Merry heart. count your many blessings, name them one by one. Why? Because you want to bring health to each other. So look at the person next to you and say, you're sick. No. And say, you need health, and I'm going to talk about God's goodness to you so I can increase your killer cells. That's what you can say to your neighbor. I'm going to increase your killer cells because my merry heart's going to help me. It's going to help you. Now, you say, is that in the Bible? Go to this verse and let me prove it to you. Proverbs 16:24. Compare the two thoughts. Proverbs 16:24. God says a merry heart is medicine. Broken spirit dries bones. Look at this verse. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words, are as a honeycomb. What are pleasant words? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one so that your words are talking about pleasant things. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb. Watch this. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. In other words, a good word coming about how great God is. And let me say this. We need to talk more about how great our God is. Not how bad this is and how bad this is and how bad this is, but how great He is. And then it's going to be health to the bones. I was at a service one night, and they had a gym like we're going to do tonight, and we played afterwards. And I always have the other team serve first. I always do it. They serve first. Well, the youth pastor threw the ball to me because he wanted the guests to serve first. One of the guys in the audience got mad. We're serving! I said, that's correct. I always do it that way. I threw the ball to the other team. The youth pastor stopped the ball and threw it back to me again. The guy got louder. We're serving! Right. I threw the ball back. The guy stopped it, threw it back to me again. I didn't know what to do. I quickly served it. I knew I was going to be dead because somebody was going to kill me if I served it. I quickly served it, but the rest of the night, I'm not exaggerating. Everybody's laughing, having fun. Here's this guy. The whole time. Because I served first. May I announce, he had a problem deeper than who served first? Guess what? He was the head deacon. Now, that doesn't mean the head deacon doesn't have flesh like everyone else, and he was probably struggling with something, and we show compassion to him. But what I'm saying is, he had a spirit that's going to dry up his bones. And he's going to become unhealthy, and he doesn't have a soul-winning tool. There's a book written called Laughter Increases Killer Cells, and it's not written by a Christian. Laughter Increases Killer Cells. And boy, if just reading the Bible, it's there. Joy is a soul-winning tool. Go to Psalm 126. Look at verse 2. I'm building a foundation for when I start preaching. Look at Psalm 126, verse 2. Now, somebody might say, I'm to laugh once in a while. I don't want to be mistaken to be one of those who has joy over there in that liberal church. I'm an independent Baptist, and I'm proud of it. Now watch this verse. In Psalm 126:2, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Everybody say, filled with laughter. And our tongue was singing. Now watch this. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Oh, my doctors and nurses in my church are getting saved because of some guy that looks like a V8 engine. And his spirit is causing doctors and nurses to wonder what's beyond that. Our brother here is have a soul-winning tool here in this wheelchair. Let me tell you this. The truth is, that may not be a wheelchair. It may be just a walker. I'm not sure what it is. I thought of something. I'd start walking in the gym in a walker like this before I play volleyball. And everybody's like, wow, this guy, we're playing him? But I'm going to tell you this. No matter what your body is suffering, how many believe God's above it? And you know what? You can have joy no matter what you're facing. If you allow yourself to say, God, you're the source of it, and I'm not going to be like a clown that has to paint a smile on my face. Now, look at this. The Bible says the Lord hath done great things for them by the laughter that fills your mouth. You have a soul-winning tool. Now, I won't have you turn to it because I want to be able to get through the sermon. But in Psalm 51, look it up later, David confesses his sin, and listen to what he says. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, that sinners might be converted unto thee. Why? Because when his joy came back, after he confessed his sin of adultery, and joy came back, he said, now I can have joy that helps sinners come to Christ, because joy is a soul-winning tool. Go to Acts chapter 2. Let me show it to you there. And I want to ask you a question. How many would love it if this church had people being added to it every day?
Amen.
This happened in the early church. But you know what we don't see? We don't see what happened before the verse says the Lord added to the church daily. So in the last verse, verse 47 of Acts 2, in the last part of verse 47, look what it says in the last part of verse 47 in Acts 2. And the Lord added to the church what? Everybody talk to me. Such as should be what? Saved. But what were the people of God doing? Did they have a soul-winning tool that made this happen? Go back to verse 46. Let's find out if they had the soul-winning tool. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, watch this, did eat their meat with gladness. Gladness? I mean, we're supposed to be glad when the preacher steps on our toes? We're supposed to have smiles on our face while it hurts us? Now, believe me, the smile isn't based on the fact that you're hurting, but I'm telling you what the smile is based on. It's because you're hearing a Bible that helps you. And you're saying, I may have to need that cancerous tomb cut out of me. And you can have a joy while it's happening because you know that joy comes from the God who is performing surgery on you while he preaches. Now look at this. So the people were of one accord. Now watch, they ate their meat with gladness. Look at verse 47, the first two words. I want you to shout them out to me like you mean it. Verse 47, what's the first two words?
Praising God.
Praising God? Here? Praising God? That's right, and having favor with all the people. You know what that means? They had a soul-winning tool with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Joy works. Listen to this. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You mean God wants to bring joy for what he did at Christmas time by being born?
Yep.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. I think we've got it now. Let me see if you've got it. Joy and happiness and laughter and praise is doctrine. Yes or no?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, if it's important to have joy so you can have a tool while you're passing out tracts, if joy is a soul-winning tool, so when visitors come to, wow, what makes those people so happy? I was in the bar. They're happier than the bar people. Their happiness is based on some joke they're telling each other. But the truth is, after they're done and they get the headache the next morning, they're not happy any longer.
Right?
But when you can say to a lost person that comes into the service, the reason we're the happiest church around is because we have a God who brings happiness to us no matter what we're going through. Now, if it is important to have joy like we've just seen, how do you get it? I'm so glad this Bible is a how-to book. I'm glad God doesn't just command us to do things. He tells us how to do things. How many are glad this tells us how to do it? How do you get joy? Oh, I'm excited about this. Now I'm going to start preaching. Go to, for the first way that you get joy, John 16, verse 24. Oh, this is good. This is such an amazing verse, and it's true. In John 16, 24, how good our God is and how he brings us truth that is so helpful and practical. In John 16, 24, look at this verse. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your what may be full. You know what brings joy? Answers to prayer. Simple as that. George Mueller had 11,000 answers to prayer written down. He must have whistled a lot. Joy comes from answers to prayer. Think about this. God does answer prayer. One pastor got up. He had some people that were getting married, and he couldn't think of a couple's last name. He said, well, those that want to get married, please come forward. 8 widows walked the aisle. looked up and said, we want prayer to find a mate. But God does answer prayer. He really does. He answers prayer. Back when my girls were 4 and 6, now I had a third daughter born. I have a 30-year-old, a 28-year-old, and a 12-year-old. I started my life all over again, and got a 12-year-old. And so I was begging God when God had begun to open a lot of public schools. I said, God, please provide a motorhome. I plead with you. I want to travel with my family while my girls are young. And all of a sudden, I decided I would do something. Every time a motorhome would pass me on the road, I would pray, Lord, if people can have one for a 2-week vacation, God, please provide a motorhome that I could travel with my family. And guess what happened? A man in Oregon called me up. Now, that may not be as far to you as it seems to me, because I'm in New Hampshire, so it's the other side of the nation. And when, how many believe when God does something, we all know it's God who's doing it? So I get this call from a stranger, and he said, I heard you going into schools. I said, yes. He said, send me a tape, if you wouldn't mind, or video. I sent him the video that you saw here. He got the video. Guess what he did? He called me up on the phone. He said, well, I was watching your video. He said, I felt impressed with the Lord to want to give you a gift. I said, well, that's so kind. I need a new pen with my name on it. He said, if you'll get a one-way plane ticket to Portland, Oregon, he said, I have a brand new motorhome I just purchased that I want to give to you. I said, repeat that one more time. And he said, get a one-way plane ticket. I feel led to give you this new motorhome. It has 5,000 miles on it. I took it on one trip. We as a family want to give it to you. I said, I feel led of the Holy Spirit to come to Portland, Oregon. And I got off the airplane, and a young man with 5 kids handed me the keys to a $50,000 rig, and I'm driving it all back home across the country, saying only one explanation to this: God answers prayer. And all of a sudden, it brought joy. So what I'm saying, joy comes as a result of asking and seeing, receiving, and specific prayers. Bless me today. Well, God says, now, how am I going to prove to you that I'm blessing you? Bless me today, God. I generally ask you to bless me. Well, I want to bless you, but please ask me something specific so when I do it for you, you'll know it's me doing it. And then I'll bring you joy. So I was praying back four or five, I had a major, major problem. 2 cars broke down. Major problem with both motors that came to $7,000. I went into my slow summer season, June, July, and August, when there's no assemblies. And then fall, my furnace decided to blow on me. Had a crack down the side of it when we had it cleaned. And in New Hampshire, where I live, we have to have a furnace that's 30 below zero many days. And icicles form on your eyelids. And we really need a furnace. $10,000 to replace it. And I prayed, oh, God, please, we need $10,000 more than we need even the money for the cars, because we'll freeze to death. And again, how many believe our God answers prayer? And I was begging him for $10,000. Then all of a sudden, I thought, well, I need to pray, too, that maybe God would provide a video of a whole assembly. What you saw is called a promotional video. I was praying for a whole assembly being videoed. But I knew to hire 3 cameras, it would cost quite a bit of money. Lord, provide a way where I could get a whole assembly professionally filmed without a guy going like this with his camera because it's jumpy. And I prayed, God, provide sometime real soon a 3-camera crew. Then I prayed for this. God, in the evening service, a lot of times at the rallies, and at this particular situation, I was preaching a message, and I was praying for a third answer to prayer, and this was the prayer. God, I want to be able to get the gospel of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and how God forgives sin, and if you don't receive him as Savior, then he's automatically a judge. Because I heard a guy on television, on Larry King, who has 60,000 in his church, a book in Walmart written, and he said, I don't preach on judgment. Okay, just be honest and say, I don't preach more than half the Bible.
Right.
I'm supposed to preach all the counsel, but I have to have my wealthy people contributing so I can still be on the air so I don't preach on judgment. That's what he should have said.
Right.
Are you with me? So I was praying, God, help me to get a message on TV on that truth. In one meeting, God answered all 3 prayers. I got a call from a stranger, again, from Texas. Are you anywhere near Carrollton, Texas? I said, I don't know where I'm at most of the time now, so let me look. By the way, I'm so glad to be in Florida. Glad I made it here. Said, let me look at my laptop. I looked at my laptop. He said, are you near Carrollton, Texas? I looked at my laptop. My first meeting in September, after the slow summer, was 5 miles from where he was calling me from. And I began to realize God knows how to orchestrate things. And I said, I'm going to be near you my first meeting. He said, I'm going to try to get you in a school. He got me in a school. I said, thank you for booking me on a short notice. I got in the gym. You'll never guess what was in the gym. 3 cameras. They were ready to film. I said, do you mind if we film this? He said, we were going to film for a movie star. He canceled. Do you mind if we film this? I said, go for it. He filmed it. After it was over, he said, we love what you're doing. Here's the footage. Amen. Use it any way you want. The producer came to the evening show. I was preaching a sermon on righteousness, sin, and judgment, and how Christ forgives sin. He said, I'm a movie producer, and this was the truth. It wasn't the feel-good gospel. It was the truth. Do you mind if we air it on television? Amen. I said, go for it. And at the end of that, the guy who brought me for that one school that called me out of the blue, 5 minutes from where I was going first, said, here's a check for you for what you do, $10,000. I said, are you an angel? He didn't answer me. And then he disappeared into thin. But you say, what are you saying? I'm saying my God answers prayers, specific prayers. And what we ought to do is just start praying more specifically so we can have real joy. Joy comes from answers to prayer. Second thing that brings joy, go to Luke 2. Are you with me still? Luke 2:10. Look at this verse, and I'm going to show you the second way to get the soul-winning tool. Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Say, fear not.
Fear not.
For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, if he says right after saying, I want to bring you joy, don't fear, fear is what robs us of joy. So, if we're going to have joy, we shouldn't fear. So, you say, how am I going to have joy? Don't worry. There'll be many who will say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Many will say, what's so great? Everything's dull, everything's sad. Let's look at everything that's blue. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord and joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk in the high places. He leads me beside still waters. Now what we ought to do if we're going to get joy is cast out fear. Just say, fear, you're no longer a part of me. And let me tell you this. When I worry, I'm an atheist while I'm worrying. While I'm worrying, I'm an atheist. Lord, I got this bill again. And God says, remember what I did with the 3 cameras? Right? You know? Remember how I answered 3 of your prayers in 1 meeting? Don't cast it out and then reel it in again because I'm going to take care of it.
Good.
But if I'm going to have joy, I've got to say, God, in every period of my life, I'm going to have joy and I'm going to cast out fear no matter what stage I'm in. Now, there's 7 stages. Spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and then wills. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Rest is the opposite of worry. John Wesley said, I'll no more worry than curse God. So worry will rob me of joy. Think about this for a minute. Have you ever seen a little child looking sad and wrinkled because global warming? Or I wonder what the pump prices are going to be tomorrow when I pull up to the gas station. Or I wonder what the government's going to do next. No, a child has joy and would have faith like a child. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If I worry, I'm not going to have the soul-winning tool while I'm worried. And how many want to see people go from hell to heaven? How many people want to see people go from hell to heaven that have that soul-winning tool and cast out fear? One lady was going to witness to her atheist neighbor, and she said, every time I'm blessed, I'm going to praise God so loud, and it's going to make him mad, but I'm going to say it out loud. He'd holler back, there's no God, and you know it. And God would bless her, and she'd praise the Lord loud. One day, she was praying for groceries. The next morning, 7 bags were on her porch. She was ready to have a spell, and she looked out and saw the bush moving in front of her yard. She didn't know it, but the atheist was hiding behind the bush. He said, God didn't give you those groceries. I put them there. And she got even happier. She said, God not only provided groceries, but he made the devil pay for it. And she said, I am not going to let anything rob me of joy because I want a soul-winning tool for my neighbor. Listen to this. Somebody said this. During years of blissful ignorance, I ate bacon and eggs without fear. Now I can't even look at an egg without thinking, you killer. You're going to clot and poison me. Then I began cutting back on cholesterol, and I read certain kinds of cholesterol were good for me. So I tried eating oat bran and some muffins and fruit fiber cereals. Now I'm told they have sugar in them, and sugar's a killer, so you better use substitutes. But then I was just told substitutes cause cancer in rats. And be careful of chicken. It might have salmonella poisoning. And watch out for apples. They might have a cancer-causing spray. The guy said, I'm becoming afraid to open my refrigerator. May I announce a wonderful truth? Bless the food and eat. Because if you worry about it, you're going to get sick for worrying about it. Now, do you see what I'm saying? Fear robs us of joy. I thought the Lord, he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. But the very hairs of your head are numbered, so fear not. He said, if I've counted every hair on that head, if I've counted the hairs of your head, don't you think that you shouldn't worry? And I read this about hair. I was amazed. 100,000 to 150,000 hairs are on the average human head. Even those that are bald have vellus variety hair, which is unseen by the human eye. So those of you who are bald, hold your head up tall and say, I have vellus variety hair, and don't you forget it. And I'm going to make the guy playing volleyball tonight have so much glare, we're going to beat him. Right? And then he says, even those that are bald have this hair, which is unseen by the eye. And God made hair useful, not just for the sake of appearance, but the hair on our head is for insulation during summer and winter. Eyebrows keep sweat out of the eyes, and eyelashes protect the eyelids when dust or tiny insects get close. And even the hair in your nostrils filters air particles, and the hair in your armpits helps reduce friction while you walk. And I read that. I said, even the hair in the armpit is there for a reason. And God has it all numbered. How foolish of us to become atheists and fear and not have the soul-winning tools. So number one, answers to prayer. Number two, fear not. Number three, in closing, I have, no idea what time it is, and I don't see a clock, and I'm glad I don't. Last thing, and I promise you I won't be more than 5 or 10 minutes. Look at Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Guess what the third way to get the soul-winning tool of joy is? Have passion for unsaved people. Not just I've shown him what my doctrine is, and I hope he got it, because my doctrine is not like his doctrine. All of a sudden, you don't have the soul-winning tool, do you? Because you're not going forth and weeping, bearing precious seed. I went to one school, and the Bible says compassion makes a difference. And how many believe compassion makes a difference? It's hard for somebody to say, don't love me so much. And I went to this one school that had 700 rejected students from all the schools. They all look like punkers. Most of the time there's 5 or 6 of them. This had all of them under one roof. A verse came to my mind, compassion makes a difference. And I said, Lord, please help me to love these souls. And God, help some, even though I can't preach during the day, help the compassion to come through that you promised makes a difference. People were telling me, don't go to that school. They'll throw knives at you, not spitballs. I went to the school and I saw the crowd and I said, God, please make compassion make a difference. When I got to speak, I said, and back then I used Britney Spears, and I said, she'll sing all her X-rated songs to you. Now I use Lady Gaga. And they'll sing all their X-rated songs to you, but when you get pregnant and your heart's broken and you're looking up to sea bottom and you've got some venereal disease or AIDS, they're swimming in their heart-shaped swimming pool while you're dying. And I don't want to see you die. The whole place was quiet. Just silent. Principal come up to me afterwards. He said, how did you do that? I didn't know what I did. He said, how did you get their attention? I've been a principal here 30 years. They've never listened like this. I thought of the verse, compassion makes a what? Difference. And you know, it did in that crowd. And he proved it, the principal, by saying, most speakers, they're not even listening. And I said, the more I love them, the more they listened. Now, if somebody wasn't listening, I used to yell out, listen! And then I lost the whole crowd. But when I speak with a broken heart, they all tune in because compassion makes a difference. And if I go forth and weep, bearing precious seed, I'm going to get joy from it. That night, a whole volleyball team got saved. A year later, a girl said, remember when you came to my school a few years ago? Yes, never forget it. She said, we had a Bible club that was a half a classroom big that grew to four classrooms big after your assembly. And I thought of that verse again, compassion makes a difference. And now all these years I've been praying, God, please continue to help me make some kind of difference. 5 suicides, said one principal, we have had in 7 weeks. Another one canceled graduation because there were going to be suicides during graduation. Last year, more kids died than the whole Iraqi war. No, I didn't know that. Yeah, and they're promoting all the stuff that's killing them, and nobody tells us that more kids died in 1 year than the whole Iraqi war. Or they'll keep promoting sex out of Hollywood, and they'll keep promoting it all over the place, but they will not tell you that more kids have died in 1 year than the whole Iraqi war. And I've been begging the Lord, please make it possible for me to reach this whole generation. And God's beginning to answer that prayer by leading me to some folks. One guy called me the other day from Hollywood. He's on all the movies. He's in 7 movies. And he wants to somehow get what I'm doing because he believes in speaking out against bullying. And he wants to somehow get this message to the whole country. And it's just amazing how God answers prayer. Shaquille O'Neal, how many of you know who that is? He just saw the video with his mother who has NBA mom cares. And it's going to 100 NBA mothers across America with my video. And it's just amazing how God opens doors and answers prayer. And I've been pleading with him, God, please provide some way for me to keep going to schools. Last year, 50 schools wanted me to come because they were seeing the death among their kids. And they said, we have no budget. We're out of budget. It's like I could play a tape recorder. We're out of budget. We had $1 million budget cut. And how many will pray with me that God will provide a miraculous way of funding for what I'm doing in schools? Really pray about it. If any of you are connected with any entrepreneur anywhere that would say, is a Christian, and say, I'm going to just get that guy out there. I know there's one guy, his name is Anderson. I think it's he supports soul winners. But I don't want to ask for it for myself. I just want to see God answer the prayer like he did with the motorhome. But everywhere I'm going, it's like, we're out of money, we're out of money. And I'm coming anyway. I tell the youth pastors, book the schools, whether they have money or not, I'm coming. Because how many believe it's worth it to get one life from hell to heaven? And so pray with me that God would answer that prayer. But listen to this one thing, and I'm going to leave. And hopefully you'll all come back tonight. I got a message tonight that you don't want to miss. Please come tonight. I was going to take a poll. How many of you are coming tonight? And if one isn't, I'm going to preach it now. So how many of you are coming back tonight? Raise your hands. Okay, you don't want to miss this. Here's a boy that wrote me this letter. He said, when you came to my school, I was going to end my whole life. I didn't have anything left to do except take up space. I felt useless. I was going to end my life on my birthday, a week after your assembly, to make a statement. I was going to hang myself with my computer cord on my birthday. I had already prepared to hang myself with my own computer cord, and it was only a matter of time. But every day I think of how you beat the odds and won against the volleyball team. And that now is my motivation to keep on going with my life. And by the way, Bob, on my birthday, I asked Jesus to save me instead of ending it all. I walked away from the computer and said that one email makes it worth it. I was going to plan my death a few nights ago prior to meeting you today. I cut my wrist twice Tuesday night. However, I'm not the least bit ashamed to say that I will no longer continue to self-mutilate. Because of this message, I'm grateful that you came to my school. I'd have gone through with my decision. All my life, I just wanted to meet somebody who showed they really cared, whether I'm alive or if I would disappear suddenly. And this, sir, has shown me that there's hope in Christ and staying alive is worth it. And I read that, and I said, I'm going to keep going. Tomorrow I'll be in Cascade, and I prayed. I didn't know whether to take it or not because I didn't know any churches. And then all of a sudden, God put it together to be here on this particular Sunday, which I'm so grateful for. Because then I began to think, well, going to Cascade, if it goes well, and they're going to be having it all over the news and all kinds of stuff. And if it goes well, maybe I could come back to Great Falls and be in every school in this town. How many would pray with me that that door will open up? Now, joy is a soul-winning tool. Wrap it up. Number one, answers to prayer. Number two, cast out fear. Number three, have passion so God can bring you the soul-winning tool. Lord, I want to thank you for the truth of joy and what it does to hearts of people. Let me ask you this. How many of you would say today, I'm not saved, but I would sure love to come to what really brings joy, not like a clown who paints a smile on the face, but I would like to come to the Savior who could bring real joy that I've been searching for at all the bars and all the things that I thought I would get it from. But I would like to come to the Savior today and get real joy that comes from the Creator. Is there anybody that would say, pray for me, I want my sins forgiven, I need to be saved, and I know it. Would you raise your hand real high? Anybody at all? How many of you can say, I'm not perfect, but boy, I have come to a perfect Savior who brought me a perfect salvation, and I'm glad I'm saved. Would you raise your hands? Wow, that's tremendous. Let me ask you a third question. When you heard that more teenagers died last year than the whole Iraqi war, how many would pray, God, give me a broken heart and give me the soul-winning tool? Would you raise your hands? Give me the soul-winning tool. You know what the teenagers need to hear in the whole city? Yes, they need to know the truth of the Word of God, that Christ forgives sin, and they need to repent, and they need to face a God of judgment and have a Savior so they can have Him as Savior and not judge. But they need to find out, by the way we have our joy, what it's all about. Pastor will come and close the service however he feels led. And I'm just so grateful to my God, again, for being able to be part of your service.